Our brother Samir mentioned the political side of things. You know, after the Reformation began and the powers that be in Rome could not put it down, and they had the emperor of much of Central Europe on their side, and there were princes, dukes, whatever their titles were, who were very much involved in this. Some of these men were truly the lords. Others wanted to break the power that Rome had over the area where they lived, which was largely Germany, but some of the surrounding areas too. Scandinavian countries got involved as well. And, they were summoned to a meeting, and there the decisions were to be made, which way is the empire going to go? And when the decision was made that everyone was to submit to Rome, some of these men stood up and solemnly said that they protested this decision. And that's where we get our word Protestant, because they were people who protested the decision that they had to submit to the powers that were then in Rome. Eventually, wars were fought, and it became a very political thing. And the solution, or the peace settlement on some of the wars, decided then that, okay, whoever rules the country, whatever he decides, that is the religion for his country. That Latin phrase, cuius regio, cuius religio, who's the region or the area, the religion, he determined the religion. And the Lord is reminding us here that he holds the churches in his hand. It's not a matter of what this prince decides or that prince, or who wins this war or that war. The Lord, the churches belong to him. But then he expects that there be life. I mean, there was life. Protestantism, Martin Luther taught, the justification by faith. And he taught it so thoroughly that he got himself into trouble. He didn't like the book of James. He didn't understand what James was saying about works. You know, the Romans, where Martin Luther shown, Romans taught that we're saved by faith, we're justified by faith. And James says, well, all right, as far as people are concerned, they've got to see your works. God sees your faith. People can't see the faith in your heart, but they can see the result of it in works. And James is not teaching that we're saved by doing good works, but simply that man cannot tell that you're a Christian unless he sees it in your life. And the Lord expects to see it in your life. And when he sees that those who profess to know the truth, those who take their stand and will even fight for justification by faith, when they're not truly saved, well, he has to criticize that you have a name that you live, but you're dead. And some of the original higher-ups, dukes and princes and so on, were truly saved men. But some of their followers, it became a political thing, and finally they had a 30 years war in Northern Europe, primarily Germany, but not Germany by its present boundaries. It spilled over into the neighboring areas. And after 30 years, they finally settled it, but there had been devastation during that time. Many people lost their lives, and it became very politically oriented. France was primarily a Roman Catholic, and France and Sweden got together and tried to manipulate things there in Germany and so on. Brian could teach history much better than I can. That was his profession. But, you know, there are things that come in here in that way. The Lord says, I know thy works. Thou hast the name that thou livest and art dead. Be watchful, strengthen the things that remain. There was definitely that which was of God. Some of these areas where at first there was great interest in the Lord's things and in the truth of Scripture, because of politics, because of wars, that got suppressed. And yet there were true Christians in some of these places. Some of them suffered. Some of them were expelled from their countries because they wouldn't go along with the religion of their prince. They had to leave the country sometimes in less than 3 days' time. And you know, you pack up all your things and try to move out of the country in 3 days' time. You're in trouble. And there were those who suffered for the Lord's sake. But he recognizes in this situation, there are to this day, those who truly know the Lord and want to be faithful to him.
I would like to follow up by taking us from the external view of what was going on historically and looking into the internal view. This picture here that we have here is not at the very beginning of the Protestant movement. It really describes Protestantism a good 100 years or more afterward. And what we find throughout the history of the assembly is that the work of God quickly begins, when it's entrusted to our hands, as we see, quickly begins to stiffen. And that's what took place. God had done a tremendous work through men such as Luther and John Calvin and many others. And there was a work of great liberty and great power. And it was, of course, as we've heard, within that realm of suffering, it was abounding much to God's glory. But as comfort came in, and as men began to bring in their own ideas, and as politics came in as well, there was the development of schools and of systematic theologies. Men began to systematize the thoughts, and we had the beginning of theologies such as Calvinist theology, Lutheran theology. These are things that the Reformers did not want. Luther did not want to be the father of something named after him. And so the institutionalization began again. And what could have continued and gone into further study and further light of God's word began to stiffen into tradition. And we have that danger, brethren. We have the danger of missing out on following the presence of Christ, right? The power expressed here, the Spirit of God. What is dead? That which the Spirit has departed from. The body is dead. The body without the Spirit is dead, as we read in James. And so the presence of Christ has to be what we follow. We have to be led of the Spirit. We have to be aware of him and let him have the direction, because we can fall on either side. We can either do what is trendy and follow the program today, or we can follow the program of yesterday, which is tradition. And neither of those are necessarily what Christ would have us to do. We have to follow his leading, and only his leading can give the needed power. It's not what we will be able to do easily. It's what he does. So there's that systematization of the theology. And sadly, when that took place, the power was gone. The 30 Years' War that we heard about resulted in a new era in Europe, which completely rejected really completely rejected the idea of the divine inspiration of scriptures, and that is the period of the Enlightenment. And people who saw these stiff orthodoxies, and men, these Christians, claiming in the name of God to be doing God's work, killing and destroying, quickly said, this whole thing is a farce. Whether you're Catholic, whether you're Protestant, we don't want any more of it. You obviously are not a servant of Christ. That's what they said to the churches. And sadly, there was no longer power for his testimony in Europe as it went into the Enlightenment.